this Memorial Day weekend, it's good to look to God's Word and just be reminded of why that we should remember why we have a Memorial Day. That's not really what I'm going to preach about, but it is important to remember the fact that we've had hundreds of thousands of people that have laid down their life for our freedoms here in America. And we need to take time. And Memorial Day is a day set aside not only to remember them, but we also remember many of our friends and loved ones that have passed away on Memorial Day weekend. But specifically, Memorial Day was declared a national holiday for the purpose of remembering those who served our nation and who gave the ultimate sacrifice. Like I said, hundreds of thousands of people have died defending our country, and I think it's an important weekend. It's an important holiday to remember all of these people. The book of Joshua, chapter 4, and I'm going to read a few verses here in Joshua 4, beginning with verse number 1. I'll make reference to Joshua chapter 3 some as well, and a lot of other scriptures that I've got on my mind here today. But let's read in the book of Joshua chapter 4 and verse number 1. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan. It's interesting that the King James uses that phrase, clean passed over. It sounds rather modern, doesn't it? But it just means completely, when they were completely passed over Jordan. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe, a man. And command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night, which actually was in Gilgal. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Now, the book of Joshua is a book that gives the account of the children of Israel passing into finally entering into the promised land. Now, this land had been promised hundreds of years ago to Abraham, and the Abrahamic covenant promised to them. And even before they were set free from bondage in Egypt, it was given this promise many years before they were even enslaved in Egypt. All of these years, they'd heard the stories of the fact that there was a promised land that was to be theirs. It was to be their inheritance. And now, in Joshua, finally, after all these hundreds of years, they're going to go in and possess the promised land. Moses has died. All of those who didn't enter in 40 years before because of their lack of faith, all of them have died in the wilderness. And now it's the next generation that's sitting there at the border, ready to march in to the promised land, and they're preparing to make their move into the promised land. And so then Joshua, he begins to give them instructions about how that they are to enter in to the promised land. And a couple of things, you have to go back to chapter 3 to get all of this, the context of all that's taking place here. But he says to them, to the priests who are going to take up the Ark of the Covenant, said, when you see the priest move forward with the Ark and they put the soles of their feet in the water, when you see them moving forward, then you get ready, because you're to take your move as well and to move in to the promised land. So wait for the Ark. Now, that's a significant thing, because the Ark really symbolized the presence of God. It was a symbol of the presence of the Lord. The Ark of the Covenant was overlaid with gold. It had cherubims on top of it. And that was there between those two cherubims that the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God, would come down into the Holy of Holies when the priest would go in to minister. And so the Ark of the Covenant was a symbol of the presence of God, the glory of God. Inside of the Ark was the Ten Commandments. It was Aaron's rod that had miraculously budded out. And then there was the pot of manna that was there. All of those symbolizing the provision of God, the power of God, the precepts of God's will for their life. All of that was in the Ark. It was all symbolic of the presence of God. And so the instruction was, don't make your move until you see the Ark of God move forward. Don't move. I think that we all could learn a good lesson from that, to understand that if you're trying to determine what the will of God is in your life or in some particular situation that you're concerned about, don't move without God. Don't move without the will of God. Don't move without the presence of God. Moses had even said that, Lord, if you don't go, I'm not going to move. If you're not with us, I'm not going to go forward, Lord, if you're not with me. And so a good rule to follow in your life is, don't make a move without the presence of God, without the assurance that you know that God is going to go with you. Now, they're marching into the promised land, but they've got this Jordan River. Now, normally, the Jordan River would be 20, 30 feet wide, not very wide at all, really. Really a small river. But in the springtime, around April, the river would swell out of its banks because all of the snow from Mount Hermon would melt and all of that would run down. And so it was in the springtime that it would swell out of its banks, and it wouldn't be 20 or 30 feet wide. It'd be 200 feet or 300 feet wide. And it was rushing and roaring down through the from the mountains. And it was in this season that God was leading them across the river into the promised land. It doesn't sound like it was the best time to cross the river, does it, in the springtime? But I want you to know that God arranges things like this for us to remember that He works in every situation, miraculously providing for us just what we need, even in the worst of our seasons. Amen. This was a flood season. It was a dangerous time, but God does some of His best work in flood seasons. Amen. The Bible says in Isaiah 59 and verse 19, when the Spirit of the Lord will be lifted up, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. That Spirit. So when the enemy comes like a flood, you may be right now in a flood season. You may be going through a time right now where you've got multiple problems and you seem overwhelmed by all of the circumstances of your life. But I want you to know that God often works in times when we are overwhelmed. God shows up and moves in times when we are overwhelmed and we don't know what to do and we don't know about our what direction to take or what decision to make. And so they've come up to the Jordan River, and the Lord's command is, you're going to cross over this Jordan, and you need to follow the priest and follow the ark as you move in to the promised land. Amen. It's an important thing to follow the lead of the presence of God. Amen. Don't make the mistake of making big decisions without seeking God. Remember, the Bible says that David inquired of the Lord. It repeatedly says that David inquired of the Lord. And we need to know the direction and the leadership of the Spirit of God in every decision that we make. I'm amazed at people who make decisions, big decisions, major decisions in their life. And it's just kind of, oh, just no big deal, no big deal. Let me tell you, every decision you make bears consequences. Every decision you make is important. And as a believer, don't put your trust in yourself, in your own wisdom, what you think you know about the future. Put your confidence in the Lord and follow the leadership of the Spirit of God. Amen. If you don't know what to do, I've told people many times this. If you don't know, if you don't have clear direction from God as to what you should do, then you do nothing. You stand still. You stay where you are until you know that you're moving in the will of God. Amen. Amen. So follow the leadership of the Lord. He also told them, sanctify yourself before you enter the promised land. This was some of the counsel of preparation for them to enter into the promised land. Sanctify yourself. He didn't say sharpen your swords or get your weapons all ready for battle, even though they were going to face a lot of enemies in the promised land. They were going to have to conquer all of these different ones, Jebusites and all these different other ites were going to have to be defeated and run out of the promised land. But he didn't tell them to sharpen their swords or pick up their weapons and prepare for battle. He said, sanctify yourself. It just meant cleanse yourself. Get rid of all of the distractions. Remove all of the hindrances. Purify yourself. Amen. Let me tell you, there is power in purity. There is power when you sanctify yourself. When you separate yourself from the influences of sin and the world, there is great power if you want to be able to move in the will of God and do what the Lord is calling you to do. Sanctify yourself. And then you're going to have to walk in faith. Because he said, those priests, the water is rushing and roaring. And those priests are going to pick up that ark and they're going to put there. It says, when the sole of their feet touched the water, that then it rolled back. The water rolled back. Just like it had 40 years before at the Red Sea. Now at the Jordan River, when it's completely out of its banks, the most dangerous time for them to cross, the water rolls back. It rolls all the way back. When I was reading about this, it was about 15 or 16 miles from where they were at that it rolled back. You got to remember that there was more than 2 million people that have to get across. And if there are 5,000 of them abreast crossing, it would take an entire day for them to cross. At 5,000 of them apart, abreast, if they were single file, it would take weeks. But God rolled it back, just plenty of room for them to be able to move across. Not only did they walk across, but the Bible says they walked across and the riverbed was dry. God not only backed up the water, but he dried up the riverbed so that when they crossed, they would be able to get it across. It is our walk is a walk of faith. The promised land is symbolic of entering into the victory and the promises of God and all the wonderful things that God has for us. And if we're going to cross, if we're going to move into that, it is going to be hearing the voice of God. It's going to require us to purge ourselves and purify our lives. And it's going to require us to walk by faith, just like these priests did as they stepped out and began the walk of faith. And he told them now, each one of these priests, after everyone had crossed over, that they were to, a man for every tribe was to pick up a stone, a large stone. It says so large that they would have to hoist it up and carry it on their shoulder. So it wasn't little rocks or pebbles. This was a big rock. And they were to carry it, 12 of them. And they were to set up a memorial. Set up a memorial on the, in Gilgal. And they also were to build up a memorial right in the middle of the river. And when they built up the memorial, it was to be a reminder to them. Because God knows that people have a tendency to be forgetful. Amen. We have a tendency to be forgetful. And so he told them to build up a memorial. I'm so glad that God is not forgetful. I'm forgetful. You're forgetful. But God is not forgetful. Hebrews 6 and 10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." Amen. God doesn't forget. God remembers every sacrifice, all of your labor. It may have been done and no one saw what you were doing. No one was a witness to your sacrifice. No one saw your faithful service and your faithful work that you did for the Lord. But God is not unrighteous to forget. But we, in our human weakness, we have a tendency to forget. And God knows that we're forgetful. And so he said, set up a memorial, a stones of remembrance. And they would build this pillar of stones up, and it was placed there so that this whole next generation, when they would see those stones and they would say to them, what is that? What are those stones stacked up there for? What do they mean? What is that for? And then the fathers would be able to answer them and say, well, this is a reminder of the fact that God opened up the Jordan River at flood season and dried up the pathway so we could come across, and it was a miracle. And this is a stone of remembrance of God's faithfulness and God's miracle working power. Amen. We have a whole generation in America that is there, they don't even realize how blessed they are. We have a whole generation in America today who think that America is selfish and think that America is racist and thinks that America has all of these issues. And the fact is, I know that America is not a perfect place, but I understand that America has been a country built upon the truths of God's word and the principles of God's word. I know that we've strayed away, and today now there's a whole generation of people that are so ungrateful for the blessings that we have in this nation. You know, ingratitude is a horrible, horrible sin. Did you hear what I said? Ingratitude is an awful sin. Millions of people around the world, and I've been to some of these nations of the world, and have them ask me questions about America. They ask questions about America because America is a shining city on the hill. They want to be here. That's the reason why that they're coming across the border by the thousands every day right now. Because people around the world want to be here. And they don't want to be here because we're a pitiful, awful place to be, as some in this nation who have become so ungrateful for what we are and for what we have. We don't want to be forgetful. We certainly don't want to be forgetful of the ways that God has blessed your life. Amen. We need to be grateful for the people that God has used to invest in your life. You need to be thankful. I'm thankful for leaders and for pastors and for spiritual people who've influenced my life over the years. When I review my life and I look back, I realize the significance of people that God has used, men and women, people who poured into me and who prayed for me and invested in my life. Thank God for them. I am grateful for those that God has used to make an impact upon my life. And you need to be grateful. We need to be grateful. It's a terrible sin to be ungrateful. Amen. The Bible talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Isn't it interesting that unthankful is right beside unholy? And I believe that being unthankful is just as wicked and evil as being unholy. Amen. We need to be a people that are full of gratitude. Young people, you need to be grateful today for all the good things that have come your way. You may have some problems and some situations that you can focus on and think, well, I've got this problem and this, but you need to look at all the wonderful ways that God has blessed your life. And he's watching over you and he's providing for you. Amen. Now, God warned the children of Israel about this. He warned them that they would be forgetful and they would forget about all the things that God had done. Let me read you some verses here. There's several of them. But I just want to show you from God's word how that God warned the children of Israel about the possibility of them being ungrateful and what would happen if they were. Deuteronomy 4, verse number 9. Only take heed to yourself. Keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Don't be forgetful, but pass it on, your gratefulness, pass it on to your sons, to your children, and to your grandchildren, is what he's saying. And then Deuteronomy 6 and verse 10, it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He warned them, you're going to be forgetful. Don't allow that to happen. You're going to go into the promised land and you're going to have all these wonderful benefits that I have provided for you. Even the wicked have dug wells you're going to drink out of. And they've planted vineyards that you're going to be able to partake of. I have done all of this for you to prepare the blessing of the Lord for you. Don't forget God's blessing upon your life. Deuteronomy 8 and 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Verse 14. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant,
which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And then verse 19, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. There's the warning. The warning that God gave to the children of Israel. If you become forgetful of all the ways that God has blessed you, then you're going to face judgment. You're going to perish. I think, folks, too often we forget that God is our source. God is our source. It is not your intellect. It is not your knowledge. It is not your ability. All these, every good thing that comes to you doesn't come of your own resource or your own ability. It is God that has given it to you. It is God that provides for you. God has given you the strength and the ability. It says there that God said, I'm going to give you the power even to get wealth. And the reason that I'll do that is so that I can establish my covenant. God provides for us even in the area of our finances because he wants to establish his work and his covenant through us as the people of God. Never forget. Never forget. Always remember that without God, you are nothing. Without the blessing of the Lord, you are nothing. You have nothing. You have no value in your life at all if it is not for the goodness and the favor of God in your life. Amen. It's true. It's true. Every good thing that God has sent your way. I remember as a young person, I watched my dad go to work day in and day out, day in and day out. My dad was a welder, worked at a welding shop there in Tulsa all the years that I was a kid growing up. And a hard worker. My dad had injured his back when he was a young man. It got worse and worse over the course of his life. He had 3 different back surgeries. I remember when I was a junior in high school that my dad had gotten so bad that he would get out of his truck and he was bent over walking into the house. He would lay in the floor after he would take a shower. He'd lay in the floor with his feet propped up in a chair because it's the only way he could get any relief. He suffered. But he went to work anyway. He'd get up the next morning and go back to work. I watched that as a kid, as a young person, and I realized my dad was a dad who was faithful to his family even when it hurt him, even when he suffered, even when he sacrificed. It made a big impact on me. I realized. I remember when my dad had one of his surgeries, I was a junior in high school. And my dad was off work for about 6 months. And so, his income was limited. And it was at that time, I know high school seniors now, it's not that big of a deal, but it was a big deal when I was a junior in high school. Kids all ordered their senior ring. It was a gold ring that had on it to the date that you graduated, the school you went to, and I know it's probably not a big deal now, but it was a big deal then. And it cost a lot of money, at least a lot more money than I had. But I remember, because I had watched my dad, I knew what he's going through, and I knew our family, what our family was going through with him, not able to work, that when it came time to order the ring, I just said, I'm not even going to bring it up to my mom and dad. I'm not even going to talk to them about it, because I know they can't afford it. They don't have the money, and so I just kind of, I won't even do that. I didn't, because I learned the lesson. I watched the faithfulness of my dad, and I knew what it took to sacrifice for those things. And every generation needs to learn. Now, those are physical things, natural things, but even more important than that is the transfer of our spiritual values to the next generation. Making sure that the next generation does not know or does not forget about the goodness and the blessing and the favor of God. That's what the text is talking about when the Lord said, put these stones, build these pillars, these stones of remembrance, so that you, when your sons and your daughters come back to their fathers and say, what are those stones? What does that mean? That you can answer and you can say, oh, that's when God worked a miracle. And he opened up the Jordan River at flood season. And we walked across on dry land. And they could tell their children about the miraculous power of God. Amen. You see, folks, we have a transfer problem in our day. We have to be able to transfer what God has done and what we know that he has done and that God is powerful and real in our life. We have to be able to pass that on and transfer that to our children and to our grandchildren and to the generations that are to come. Oh, how important that it is that we invest in them. They're going to come back. I think it's significant that it says that when they come back to their fathers and ask. I understand that there are situations where fathers are absent from homes and mothers are having to be the mother and the father. I understand that. But I think it's significant for us to consider here. It's not Father's Day yet, but it says when they come back to their fathers. Fathers, we've got a big responsibility to transfer our confidence and our faith to the next generation. To somehow let the next generation know about the goodness of God. Just came to my mind just this week. Years ago, I'd read a book by Dick Eastman. Some of you have read books. Dick Eastman is known for his emphasis on prayer. And actually, in Washington, D.C., across from, I didn't know about this till I just got to looking into this the other day, across from this new Museum of the Bible, across from it is a building that has been designated as a place of prayer intercession, where people are praying for Washington, D.C. and for the country 24 hours a day at that place. I want to go there and visit that place. But Dick Eastman, when his children were young, the Lord dealt with him to give to them what he called the gift of Wednesday. The gift of Wednesday. Every Wednesday, he prayed and fasted for his children. And that's what he told people. He said, I called it the gift of Wednesday. And I gave that gift to my kids every Wednesday to pray and to fast for them so that they would know the God that I know, so it could be transferred to them, that they can know that I serve a God and I know a God who can answer prayer, who can work miracles and can show his mighty hand in our behalf. Amen. Judges chapter 2. Skipping a verse there, Brother Darrell, I think. Judges chapter 2 and verse 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. There was a breakdown somewhere. There was a breakdown, a failure to pass from one generation to the next generation their faith and their confidence in God. There has to be a stone of remembrance built up. There has to be a reminder so that when your sons and your daughters come to you and they say, what's that mean? What does that mean? When they see different things going on in a church service, that they understand, oh, that's the move of God. That's the power of God. Our children shouldn't be a strange thing to them when they see someone being prayed for and God touching them and healing them. That shouldn't be a strange thing to them. Amen. They should witness the power of God. Moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, we can pass a lot of things on to our children and to our grandchildren, but really most important is that we transfer to them The stories of the faithfulness of God, the testimonies of the way that God provided, and the way that God worked, and the way that God showed his mighty hand in your behalf. Nothing is more important than those remembrances that can be instilled in their hearts so that there can be a transfer of faith to the next generation. Amen. Oh, how important that it is. How important it is. That principle is also found, this is the last scripture I'll read. It's also found in Psalm 145 in verse number 4. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Praise God. Amen. Tell your kids, tell your grandkids, tell your family. Make sure that you pass on the reality, the truth, and the stories of the faithfulness of God down through the years in your life. Build up a memorial in their heart so that the truth and their faith can be so that your faith can be transferred to their heart. Amen. There's a breakdown in this generation that we're living in right now. And we need to transfer the truth to the hearts of our families and our loved ones. Amen. Building up a stone of remembrance. Amen. That's what the Lord spoke to the children of Israel to do. Build up those stones as a reminder to future generations of what God has done. Amen. Praise God. Doesn't mean we live in the past. Honestly, I don't believe we should live in the past. But it's an important thing to pass on to this next generation the reality and the power of God working in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this Memorial Day weekend, Lord. Oh, Lord, forgive us because we are forgetful. We forget about all the wonderful ways that you've blessed our lives. Sometimes we become complainers and grumblers like the children of Israel did, Lord. They forgot all the wonderful ways that you had provided for them. All the miracles bringing them through the wilderness. Sustaining them, Lord, with food rained out of heaven. Lord, making their clothes and their shoes to where they would not wear out. Oh God, your mighty hand providing for them miraculously. Help us to never forget, Lord, what you have done for us and how that you have blessed our lives. In Jesus' name, would you stand with me today?